Well, amen. Aren't you glad our worship leader is back? Let's give her a big round of applause. Oh, I don't know how you guys put up with me for 6 weeks. Whew. I count my blessings when I get them. Thank you so much. That was awesome. If you have your Bibles, once again, I'd like to invite you to turn with me to the Gospel of Mark chapter 4. With the completion of this message, we will be 25% done with Mark, meaning we have 75% more to go, but we are making ground, doing pretty good, I think. It's been an amazing time studying the Gospel of Mark, and I've enjoyed it, and I hope you are enjoying it as well. And it's been what God has been speaking to us about as a church, and I know that about every message has been for this church and for everybody. And so we do thank the Lord for that. The subject of our morning meditation is on Jesus Calms the Storm. Once again, it was like the Lord is, this whole music, when I was looking at it, I go, wow, this is right where we need to be. So let's look together at Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. If you're following along in the Pew Bibles, it's page 29, and I have NT because that's New Testament. I guess they start the numbering again at 1 in the New Testament. Who does that? I don't know. But 29 in the New Testament portion of your Bible. So let's look here, beginning at verse 35 of Mark chapter 4. On that day, when evening came, he, which is Jesus, said to them, his disciples, "Let us go to the other side." Leaving the crowd, they took him along with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. And there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up. Jesus himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he got up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Hush, be still." And the wind died down, and it became perfectly calm. And he said to them, "Why are you afraid? How is it that you have no faith?" They became very much afraid and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Let's pray together. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. There's a lot of things that we see about this storm that came upon Jesus and his disciples. And the first thing that I note about the storm is that the storm came in the line of duty. The storm came in the line of duty. The day had been a crowded one. We've been looking at the various parables of Jesus. We've been examining his teachings. And this has been an all-day event. It would have probably started somewhere in the early morning hours, and he would have been teaching all until there was probably no more light. It was a long day. It was a crowded day. In verse 1, we notice that the crowds were just so overwhelming him. Verse 1 says that he began to teach them again by the sea, and such a way, or such a very large crowd gathered to him that he got into the boat in the sea and sat down. And the whole crowd was by the sea on the land. It was so big and so powerful was this crowd that he actually had to teach from in the middle of the sea so that they wouldn't crowd him over. And he was teaching all day, and he was tired. Most people would be tired. Researchers have said that preaching a sermon is like working a 12-hour shift because of the amount of stress and the emotions that go into it. I have no clue on that. I didn't do the research there, but I tell you that I do feel tired after I'm done preaching. And, preaching all day long, man. Whew. I mean, I'd want a nap. I guarantee you I would want a nap. And here's Jesus. He's been going all day long, and he goes to his disciples, and he was ready for a nap. He was ready to take a break. And Jesus was therefore ready to find some solitude and rest. And so he tells his disciples, he says, hey, let's go to the other side of the sea. Let's get a break here. And so they go, and they let him go, and they begin to come out and go to the other side of the sea. And I want to mention here something that I find interesting, that when storms come into our lives, we must note that oftentimes storms come to our believers when we are tired. Amen?
Amen.
I have never once encountered a storm that I was actually ready to face. I've always encountered storms in my life when I've been tired, when I've been weary, when I've been ready for a break. That is when we get storms in our lives. And Jesus, that's when he received his storms. When I think of this, I think of Jesus in Matthew chapter 4 when he was being tempted. He wasn't tempted when he was at his best. Jesus had been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, and he was hungry. And it says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, it says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, and after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. And the first thing that Satan did was he tempted him on what he was the most weakest on. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. But I want us to notice here in this particular concept that Jesus was tired. And that most of the time when we go through storms in our lives, we're going to be tired and weary and worn. And I tell you what, that if we would all get up and testify, we would all say that is exactly the way that it goes. We all have our own burdens. She shared hers this morning, and I could probably share with you mine, and you could share with me yours, and we could probably spend the rest of this morning sharing our trials that we face this month. But we know that it does happen that way, and so we shouldn't be surprised when a storm comes up and we're tired, because guess what? Storms don't follow our schedule. Amen. It follows its own schedule, and we need to note that. So it came in the line of duty. They were walking. They were trying to get some rest. And then the storm happened to come and interfere in Jesus' nap time. We also note here that the storm was real and the fear genuine. This was not a spiritual storm. This was not a kind of a storm that happened in their lives. This was a real storm. Jesus and his disciples were physically unprepared for the storm that came upon them. We need to note this. In verse 36, it says that leaving the crowd, they took him, which is Jesus, along with them in the boat. Now, notice this. Just as he was. And that means that they didn't prepare for a storm. They weren't looking for a storm. They were just looking to get to the other side. And it happened to be that the storm came up in the midst of it. So they were totally unprepared for this storm. And that brings me to another applicational point, that is the fact that storms come into our lives when we are unprepared. Amen. How many of you have ever been prepared for a storm that you fought physically or spiritually? I have not. Usually storms come out of the blue. You walk in, wow, where'd that come from? I didn't see that coming at all. right? And that's why we as believers need to always be prepared. The Boy Scout motto, right? Be prepared. Why? Why should we never let our defenses down? Why should we never let our guard down? Well, because we don't know when a storm is going to come up. And so we need to always be ready. This is something that we see constantly in the Scriptures. Satan does not wait for us to get prepared. In fact, that would be very foolish if he did. You don't want to attack someone when they are really prepared. You want to attack someone when they're not prepared. We see this, and that's why the Apostle Paul told the believers in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, he says, "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall." If you think that you're standing good, if you think that you're all ready to go, you need to really watch out, because that's when Satan can come up and really knock you. And when you're not prepared, when you're not paying attention. And so we need to be paying attention. Peter also said this in the fifth chapter of the book of Peter, verse 8. He says, "Be careful. Watch out for attacks from Satan, your great enemy. He prowls around like a hungry, roaring lion looking for some victim to tear apart." So we need to always be prepared for storms. We need to always be prepared for these things that come into our way. I also think that it's interesting here is that Jesus' disciples, they cried out to him. And why did they cry out to him? Well, they cried out to him because they thought that he didn't care. Notice that. He's back asleep. He's not worried about the storm. He's not worried about them being ripped apart, but yet this big gale of wind comes and begins to flood the boats, and the disciples are going crazy. And they come to Jesus, and he's just fast asleep, you know, sawing logs in the back, you know. And they come to him, and what do they tell him? Well, verse 38. Jesus himself was in the stern asleep on the cushion, and they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Don't you care what we go through? Doesn't it matter to you what we're going on against? And you know something? I find myself doing that sometimes. When we're in the midst of a particular trial or we're in the midst of a particular tribulation in life, we oftentimes do that because we're human. We cry out to God and we say, "God, don't you care what I'm going through? Do you even care that I'm going through this? Or does it somehow make you feel good that I'm going through this?" You know, I've done that. Amen. We've all done that. We've all been where the disciples have been. But here's the good news today. The good news today is not only does Jesus know about the storms we face in life, but he cares about what will happen to us. Amen. Evidently, you don't believe that. Let me read that again. Maybe you'll believe it a second time. Not only does Jesus know about the storms that we face in life, but he cares about what will happen to us. Amen.
Amen.
So whatever trial or tribulation or storm that you may be facing today, and you may be calling upon God, "Teacher, do you care that we're perishing?" I want you to know that Jesus knows and Jesus cares. The Psalms are filled with this concept. The fact that Jesus cares about what you and I go through. One of my favorite Psalms, when I want to be reassured of the fact that God knows what I'm going through, is Psalm 139. And I want you to just listen to these first four verses of Psalm 139. And I want you to just picture God in this. It says, "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down." Now watch this. and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. My friends, I want you to know this morning that God knows about your situation. He knows about my situation. But the problem is we feel isolated sometimes. We feel that we're the only ones in the world that has a problem. I know, because that's the way I feel sometimes. And so we have to remind ourselves that Jesus is intimately acquainted with all of our ways. He goes on to say, even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. Does Jesus know about your situation? Does Jesus know about my situation? You betcha he does. And not only does he know about it, it's not that, well, yeah, he knows, he just doesn't care, but he cares. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says that we're to cast all of our care upon him. Why? For he cares for you. He cares for you. Why? Because he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross. I think that's the biggest reason why he cares for us. He cares for you. One of my favorite songs that I love to listen to, I'm going to sing it here at the close of the service, but it's the great hymn, Does Jesus Care? And I love the words. Will you listen to them? Does Jesus care when my way is dark with a nameless dread or fear? As the daylight fades into deep night shades, does he care enough to be near? Oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. I'm excited because on Sunday school, these kids are going to answer all my questions because they're talking now. Ladies, don't make me do that again. Thank you. Does Jesus care? Yes, he does. Jesus knows about our cares. He knows about our trials and tribulations. And he cares for us. He cares for these people. He knew what they were going through. He cares for them. Why? Because he acts. And that brings me to point number three, in that the storm was subservient to the divine word. What does he do? Does he leave him in the situation? Does he say, well, you'll handle it? What does he do? No. What does he do? Verse 39, and he got up and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, hush, be still. And the wind died down and it became perfectly calm. The claim which Mark and the early church were making was the highest possible. Now I want you to watch this. Jesus is the one with the God of Israel, whose word governs the sea and the wind. What he is saying here today, and what he's saying to you and to me, is that he is in charge. You don't have to be a slave of your circumstances because Jesus is greater than your circumstances. Was Jesus greater than this particular circumstance? Absolutely. He got up and he said two words in the Greek. He said two words. Hush, be still. Basically, shut up and be quiet. That's what he said. He got up. Peace, be still. And it was, I mean, you could picture this. You know, you've seen wind and rain. Whoosh, rah, rah, peace, be still. And immediately it's calm. Like glass. And these people are like, wow. This man has the power. This man has the ability to speak a word. And it happens. The Psalms are filled with this. Psalm 65, 5 through 7 says, "You answer us with the awesome deeds of righteousness, O God our Savior, the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas, who formed the mountains by your power, having armed yourself with strength, who stilled the roaring of the seas, the roaring of the waves, and the turmoil of the nations." This is God. Nahum 1:3 says, "The Lord, who is slow to anger and great in power, and the Lord who by no means will leave the guilty unpunished, in whirlwind and storm is his way, and clouds are the dust beneath his feet." And so when we think of God, the God of Israel is the God of history and of nature. And that when it serves his purposes, he speaks to the nature and it responds. Amen. Why? Because he created it all. And he was able to come and he was able to calm the sea. And that's the God of Israel. And what do we know about Jesus? This is an amazing statement that Jesus makes here. By calming the sea. "Since Jesus Christ is the creator of all things, he has the divine right to tell the wind and the sea what to do." Because he's making a statement here. When he gets up and he says, "Peace be still," he is claiming that he is God. Because he is using the same creative way in which he used to create the heavens and the earth. We're talking about that in Sunday school. That God created the world, right? You know how he created? He used his word. He spoke it, right? God said this and it happened. God said that and it happened. And so what he is saying is he's making the comparison. Like God created the heavens and the earth with his word, so Jesus does the same thing because he is God. That's what he's saying here. We know this because John says this. John says concerning the Word, in the first verse he says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Right? And who is the Word? The Word is Jesus. We know that. And so when it goes down in verse 3, then it says that all things came into being by Him. Who is Him? Jesus. "And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being." Meaning that apart from Jesus, creation didn't happen. Colossians chapter 1 verse 16 says, "For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created by him and for him." And here's the deal. If Jesus, who knows about our situation and cares about us and has the ability to storm, to tell the sea what to do, do you think that he can deal with what's going on in our lives? Absolutely he does. God has the ability to speak into the life. Now what is interesting to note here, that yes, all these events were long ago and far away. But what are the storms each of us encounter in life? The disappointments, the bereavements, the loss, and the heartache. And I want to say that Jesus has a word for us as well. Look at verse 39. Well, verse 40. "And he said to them, why are you afraid? How is it that you have no faith?" Here's what Jesus speaks to us. Jesus wants us to encounter the storms in life. This is what he says. He doesn't tell us that we will never have storms in life. Never says that. Never read that anywhere. So if you have a pastor that tells you that once you're a believer, you are somehow exempt from storms, it's not in the Bible that I read at all, because that's not what I read. But here's what Jesus promises. Jesus promises to take away the fear of the storm in our lives. Because when Jesus took away and he made it all calm, he immediately got rid of their fear. Jesus has the ability to remove the fear that resides in our hearts. 1 Timothy chapter 2, or 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, "For God has not given us a what? A spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of a sound mind." So he's able to take the fear and the trembling away from our particular situation, and he's able to replace that with his love and his power and a sound mind, a clear thinking, a way to judge the way that he is. So the question in our lives today is that if Jesus, who is the Christ, the Son of God, is with us, he will help us chart a course over the treacherous and stormy seas of life. Here's the amazing thing this morning, and we cannot forget this. The God who is the creator of the world, the God who can tell the wind and the waves to shut up, is a God that wants to have a relationship with you. Do you trust him as your Savior this morning? Is he your personal Savior? Because this kind of a God that is able to take all of our troubles and all of our tribulations, and he's able to deal with them in that amazing way, he wants a relationship with us. His disciples were all amazed. They became, verse 41, they became very much afraid and said to one another, "Who then is this? That even the wind and the sea obey him." Who is this? This is Jesus that wants a relationship with you and me. This is Jesus who is able to step into the various trials and tribulations of our lives to calm it when it gets too much. That's who this is. So what are we facing today? Well, I'll tell you what. It all seems peanuts. Whatever trial and tribulation we may be going through, and boy, we could be going through a big one, and we probably are. But it fails in comparison to who Jesus is and what Jesus is capable of doing. And if Jesus is capable of doing that to the wind and the waves of the sea, what can he do in your hearts? Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that you are the one who comes and calms the storm. When the disciples come to you and they cry out and they said, "Lord, do you even care that we're perishing?" Father, we know that not only do you care, but you do care. And you care very deeply about what happens to us. So, Father, as a result, I pray that you'd help us to cast all of our cares, all of our anxieties, all of our trials and tribulations and troubles, Father. May we be able to cast them upon you, Father, because we know that you care for us. Father, help us to know that there is nothing in this world that you cannot handle. I think of that little children's song that I used to sing so long ago. My God is so great, so strong, and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. Father, help us to just be reminded today and encouraged and strengthened in the fact to know that you are the Creator. You tell the winds and the seas what to do, and we can trust you with our hearts and our minds and our souls. We pray that you'd help us to do this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we close, normally we sing a song together. I'm going to turn this off.